Good morning and welcome back. It's another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini, I'm back with you guys for another half an hour talking all things Phillies offseason as per usual. And it's been a slow Phillies offseason so far, kind of what we should expect. Dombrowski a lot of times feels like he just kind of moves in under cover of darkness. You don't have a whole lot of news about what's going on, and then all of a sudden you check one day and bam, they've got Jesus Luzardo, or they've got Kyle Schwarber or Castellanos like a couple of years ago. It's not always known necessarily what he's going to be doing. And I think that there's no clearer example of that than Jesus Luzardo last season. Now, I know that's a trade and that wasn't a free agency signing, but it came simply out of nowhere. I hadn't heard any rumblings about it. You know, very plugged into everything that was going on, trying to keep tabs on who they were interested in, who they were maybe going to go out and get. I had guys that I had, you know, wished that the Phillies would get. And Luzardo wasn't even one of them. He wasn't a guy that I looked at. And obviously, I thought he was a great pitcher. Phillies faced him in the postseason in 2023. He had a great 2023 season. He was injured in 2024. Still thought he was a very good pitcher. Didn't have any. But he wasn't high on my radar of guys I thought they were going to be after to try and go get. He certainly wasn't a guy I thought that they were going to try and trade to get. Lo and behold, of course, they make the trade, I believe, in December for Jesus Luzardo. It might have been early January, but it was around that time where it seemingly happened out of nowhere, right? So it wasn't something that we were expecting, and I feel like that's kind of going to be the same thing with what Dombrowski does this offseason is there might be some moves that are made that you aren't expecting necessarily. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot done around Major League Baseball in the past week since I've recorded. We've had Dylan Cease go to the Blue Jays, which is a great deal for them. Cease, not a great season last year for San Diego, but still one of the top pitchers in baseball when he's on. Blue Jays doubling down and trying to make sure that they can find a way back to the World Series, which I think is the exact right thing to do. I appreciate an owner who will be willing to spend money and an owner who will, when push comes to shove, he'll believe in his team, believe in his front office, and not hold back in trying to get them the pieces that they need to have in order to win a championship. So, you know, they do that by getting Dylan Cease. Yesterday, the Mets signed Devin Williams to a 3-year, $50 million contract, which Devin Williams had a really rough start to the 2025 season with the Yankees. Only one pitcher in baseball had a better strikeout rate after that in the second half of the season. That was Mason Miller. So Devin Williams righted the ship there towards the end of the season for the Mets. The Phillies will now have to face him in division. He will be on the Mets. And that's another owner, man. Another owner in Steve Cohen who is going to put his money where his mouth is. And I hate the Mets, of course, and I would prefer that they not have Francisco Lindor or Juan Soto or possibly Pete Alonso and now Devin Williams. We'll see what they do with Edwin Diaz. Diaz is still out there on the market as well. I don't think that the Devin Williams move precludes them from going out there and trying to keep Edwin Diaz. I think that you can kind of keep those two separate. I think Williams has said he would pitch as a setup man to Diaz if need be. And I think that the Mets are still going to be very big suitors for Edwin Diaz. And I personally don't see him going anywhere else. I would find it hard to believe that Edwin Diaz would be pitching for another franchise in 2026. Now, obviously anything can happen. The money talks, right? Like, the guys have changed organizations and went to where the money was the biggest, and whether Edwin Diaz does that or not, I'm not sure. I sure as heck would love to have him out of the Phils division. I know that the Phils hitters would love to have him out of their division because they never seem to hit Edwin Diaz well. But he's still out there on the market, so we'll see what happens with Edwin Diaz. But yeah, outside of that, it hasn't been a whole lot that's gone on around the big leagues. Really in general, right? So, you know, not a whole lot's been done with the Phils. Not a whole lot of news on what might happen. Now, John Heyman spoke yesterday, and really when he was talking about the Phillies, it kind of felt like he was just kind of like throwing out any possible scenario that can happen. You know, he was like, well, they're listening on Brandon Marsh and they're listening on Alec Bohm and they're trying to find suitors for Castellanos. And, you know, they're in on Schwarber. He said they're very plugged into the market and in on a lot of different guys. You wouldn't be doing your due diligence if you weren't, right? If we heard from John Heyman on the Phils, well, the Phils haven't really done anything. They're really not in the market too much. They're kind of trying to just get it squared away with their own guys, and that'll be that. I think that would raise the antenna of everybody in Philadelphia to say, well, what the heck's going on here? Why are we not in on this guy? Why are we not in on this guy? Are we really just going to run this back with the same core and keep these same guys? So I guess a little bit of comfort can be provided in the fact that, you know, he did say that they are in the market, they're in on guys that are out there that you may not be thinking about. So that's comforting to know. But what he did throw in there at the end of what he said yesterday was there's still a possibility that they re-sign Ranger Suarez. And I don't think he would say that if it weren't true. I don't think he would throw that out there if the Phillies weren't seriously trying to retain Ranger. And keep in mind, this is a pretty barren pitching market right now. Framber Valdez, Ranger Suarez, probably the best two pitchers remaining on the market. So keeping one of your own guys and keeping a guy who's been in your organization for a long time is something that I would try to prioritize. I don't think anybody in the big leagues knows just quite as good as Ranger Suarez is other than the Phillies. And you know, he's been there, done that with them. He's not always Mr. Reliable. He's not Zach Wheeler, Cy Young Award, you know, caliber pitcher, or Christopher Sanchez, who finished second in Cy Young Award voting this year. But he's a very good number three and a very good complement to those guys. And if you can keep that rotation the same, now granted, look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, we don't know what a full season will be like without Zach Wheeler. Or they're not going a full season without him. But my point being, we don't know what a full season without the Zach Wheeler of the last 5 years will be, because we don't know what's going to happen with him, whether or not the thoracic outlet syndrome is something he comes back from relatively seamlessly, or, you know, Merrill Kelly had the same sort of surgery that Wheeler had, at the same issue that Wheeler had, and he was still a very good pitcher afterwards. He was never the caliber that Zach Wheeler is, but he was still a good pitcher, and he's not the same kind of pitcher that Zach Wheeler is in the sense of he's not a flamethrower. Guy throwing 98, 99. Merrill Kelly is a guy throwing 90 to 91. Kind of plays around location in the zone and has some good off-speed stuff that can fool you. So they're not the same kind of pitcher, which is why I don't take a whole lot of solace in what was able to become of Merrill Kelly's career, because Zach Wheeler is not that same kind of pitcher, right? So we don't know what that's going to be like when Wheeler comes back, but from my point of view, why would you not want to have your starting rotation be as sound as you can possibly have it in the event that your ace, your Cy Young Award guy, is not able to come back and be the pitcher that you thought he could be, or could not be the pitcher that he was for the better part of a half decade? So I'm all in on trying to bring Ranger Suarez back. And if you don't, and you're throwing all the eggs in the basket of an Andrew Painter, I think that's risky, and I've said that for weeks now. I feel like I think that that's a very risky decision. Now, granted, yes, they need to get younger, you know, and starting the youth movement is not a thing that I'm opposed to, like having a Justin Crawford start in left field, having an Andrew Painter become part of the rotation. I don't know if those guys are ready right now, and Painter specifically. I think Crawford is ready, as ready as he's ever going to be, I should say. He was killing it in AAA last season. He's not a guy who's going to come and hit 15 home runs or put up the, you know, I don't think Justin Crawford is going to immediately make an impact on day one. I think he'll be the 9-hole hitter in the order for a while, and a guy that is going to need to get his feet wet before he really starts making some big contributions to the team. That's the way that I view it. I can't tell you whether that's right or wrong until the season starts, but if I had to bet my money on something, I'd say that's more likely right now the position that Justin Crawford's going to be in. Andrew Painter's a different story. Coming back from Tommy John surgery last year, does not have a good season. And yes, that is typical in the day and age of Tommy John surgery. You're going to come back better than ever, but you're not going to come back better than ever the first season. You're going to have some humps you need to clear. From everything that I had heard, is the location and the locating of the pitches, which was an issue with Painter in this past year. that's the last thing that comes back. You know, the velocity was there. The break on his pitches was there. Like, you know, the pitches were mostly still the same. It was mainly the location of the pitches and the command of the zone. If you remember, Painter was having a little bit of trouble with walks for a decent chunk of the season. And so if that's the last thing that comes back is getting that control down, getting that location back, you know, you hope that he can have that this year, but they've babied him for about as long as they can baby a player. If you remember, they didn't have him throw for a full year after he got Tommy John. He got Tommy John surgery. Well, first off, they didn't let him get Tommy John. The Andrew Painter story drives me nuts. Not anything to, you know, not his fault, any of this, but he had a partially torn UCL, I believe, and it had pain in it, and they shut him down, rightfully so. And then they tried to make the decision to not have him get surgery. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not an athletic trainer. I'm nobody that deals with these kinds of things. I'm just a very big baseball fan who understands that when a guy's got a UCL problem and there's a tear in there and he's a pitcher, you're likely headed towards Tommy John surgery. Maybe not all the time, because why would they have him try and not get surgery if there are times where that works? But you had to feel like the likelihood was he was destined for surgery and this wasn't going to be very good. And they went a couple of months without him getting Tommy John, tried to have him build back up to throwing. And then, of course, he ends up having to get to the surgery. I believe it was late 2023 in the season, maybe July or August of 2023. They have him go in and get Tommy John. So that already sets his recovery time, obviously, back then a few months rather than had he got it in April or May or even March, you know, when the problems first arose, because he had this issue in spring training. It was looking like Painter was trending towards being in the rotation to start 2023 prior to the issue and the need for Tommy John. So, you know, it's tough. And they didn't pitch him at all in 2024, or didn't pitch him until the fall, I believe, of 2024. He was pitching in the Arizona Fall League, I believe, and was pretty good still in there. And then, you know, goes to the minor leagues and does not have the season that he was hoping for, or that the Phils were hoping that he would have. So I just think that banking on him come 2026 to be in the starting rotation and move on from a guy like Ranger Suarez, I think it's still a risky move. I think it's risky business to try and have that happen. But look, they know better than me, right? So I'm just giving you my opinion on why I think this should happen. If they really believe in Painter and think he's going to be a contributor right away and can get hitters out at the major league level, and we'll see in spring training too. We'll see what he looks like. They're not going to do that if he doesn't look good in spring training, but I'm hoping they're right. I'm hoping they're right, because you're losing a proven commodity in Ranger. And I've kind of moved on from the prospect hugger type of guy that I used to be. You know, even last year or 2 years ago when I was doing this podcast, for anybody who remembers out there listening, I was the king of the prospects. You know, I was, do not trade any of these guys. You need to extend this core by making it get younger. When guys like Bryce Trey, JT Schwarber all get older, you need to have an influx of young talent. And I was not in the camp of move on from any of these guys. I was keep them. They're going to be contributors someday. And now comes the time where they're going to be potential contributors, and I'm sitting here telling you that I don't believe in them. So I've not been the prospect hugger the way that I used to be, but you know, losing a proven commodity in a guy like Ranger for a guy that you don't know what he's going to bring to the table, I just think is risky business. It's not something that I would do. And so I just think you're playing with fire is all I'm saying. I think you're playing with fire if you do that. So we'll see what they end up doing. I wouldn't be shocked if Ranger is signed relatively soon. Now with Cease off the market, you know, you're able to kind of dictate a little bit more than you were prior. But I think pitchers want to get signed earlier. They don't want, you know, you remember Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell, I think it was, when they didn't sign until like March, and that was a whole fiasco. I think these guys, I think Ranger would like to be signed. I think he would like to know where he's going. And we'll see if it's the Phils or, I think a big landing spot potential for him is Houston. That rotation needs some upgrades. Framber's now a free agent. I know that he's had a lot of issues with there and, you know, his personality. He's not the kind of guy that Ranger is necessarily. I think Houston would be a big landing spot for him. And if that's going to happen, I think it happens relatively soon. I would say before the new year. I would say maybe even by mid-December. I'd say December 15th-ish area is when that will happen. All right. And the last thing that I want to hit you guys with is a guy that I would do anything for the Phillies to go out and get. Now, there have been reports that a certain someone from the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Diamondbacks are listening to trade offers on, and the Phillies are reportedly one of the teams interested in him and one of the teams that may be in on him, and that's Ketel Marte. And he is a guy that I would do anything to get on this Phillies team. Ketel Marte, 2023 NLCS MVP. If you remember, he absolutely torched the Phillies in that series. Has been a phenomenal player since he's been in Arizona. And he's been there for the majority of his career. Started his career in Seattle. Actually went to, ironically enough, everything leads back to Gene Segura, went to Arizona in the Gene Segura trade that Seattle made with them back in 2017. The Phillies would then obviously trade J.P. Crawford to get Gene Segura on their squad. But Ketel Marte is a guy that if they are seriously listening to trade offers and seriously considering moving Ketel Marte, he's a guy that of course you're in on. Of course, every team should be in on. I think he's the best second baseman in all of baseball. Last season, 283, 28 homers, 72 RBIs in 126 games. You know, he kind of gets a bad rap for injuries. People, you know, teams have thought that he's had some issues staying healthy. I'll tell you that since 2020, and he's played 45 games in the COVID season, 90 games in 2021, but since then, 137, 150, 136, and 126. Now, there's no doubt that he has had some injury issues. There have been some things that have kept him off the field, and there's been some question marks about his behavior in the locker room, some question marks about his relationships with teammates in Arizona. Now, Geraldo Perdomo, their shortstop, has stood up and basically put the kibosh on that and said that Marte is a great teammate, this and that. The guys there love him. He's not what the media has made him out to be. I don't know how true either side is, you know, whether or not he really is kind of a guy that people don't like in the clubhouse and has a rocky relationship with some of his teammates, or whether we should believe Perdomo, who's the guy that plays in double play tandem with him, the shortstop, and says that, no, that's not true whatsoever. So we don't know officially what the verdict is on Ketel Marte and what he's like in the locker room, but he is a guy that you need to get your hands on. He would provide exactly what this team needs, a guy who can hit for a high average, a guy who can also pop you 25 to 30 home runs. He had 36 and 24, 25 and 23 and 28 last year in some shortened action. He is what we thought we were going to get with Trey Turner, I think, in a gamer, just a hitter, just a guy who can get the job done. And the Phillies have kind of neutered Trey Turner in a way by wanting him to basically not hit for power as much, you know, get on base, steal a lot of bases, be a high average on base percentage guy as well. And that's what we want out of you. If you get Marte to be his double playmate over there at second base, that makes your lineup deep. You know, that provide, you know, Marte's a switch hitter, provides you some protection with Bryce or with Schwarber if he's back. So I just, if they can make a trade for him, man, and he's going to cost a lot. If the Diamondbacks are going to move him, it's going to cost you some of your top guys, right? So I think ideally the Phillies would like to do it without moving Andrew Painter. But like I said, man, I'm not the prospect hugger I used to be. If you can get Ketel Marte, I'm going to move Andrew Painter, and I'm going to do it every day and twice on Sunday. Now, Marte is 32 years old. You know, he's not the spring chicken that you know, he wouldn't necessarily be the poster child for the youth movement of the Phils. If you bring in a guy like Ketel Marte, you are essentially banking on this core being able to win in one of the next 2 years, right? Or basically putting your chips on the table and saying, we need to do it now. And I think that would be the right kind of space to be in if you're the Phils. You know, like, your guys aren't getting younger. Your youth movement, you know, you can still do it with Crawford or with Miller, or maybe they would want Miller in this trade because you can be a guy who can play middle infield like Ketel can, and you're losing Ketel, so you want Miller in return. I don't know what their asking price is, and I don't know how serious the Diamondbacks are on wanting to part ways with Ketel Marte. But if you're the Phils, it's impossible to ignore that. It's impossible to look at him and to not have him be a guy number one on your priority list, a guy that you 110% need to be all in on and make sure that he lands on your roster in 2026, because I think he can put this team over the top. I think he's a postseason riser, as he's shown in his career. I think he's a guy that which just instantly makes you better. You know, you can move off of a guy like Bohm or a guy like Stott in the trade. You could send him over to Arizona, or have it, you know, whatever scenario you need. You know, Stott and Bohm are nice players. They're not players that are prohibiting me from making any sort of trade. And I don't think they're players that are prohibiting Dombrowski from making any sort of trade as well. I think he's aware. I think he knows. I think he's operating in that capacity that, you know, those are guys that they would be willing to move if push comes to shove. And I know, you know, I've talked before, and everybody out there knows, they tried moving Bohm last offseason, couldn't find a suitor for him. Maybe this is an offseason where they're more serious about it and they end up finding a trade partner for Alec Bohm. So I think that greatly improves your chances of being a really good team in 2026. And I think they'll still be good in 2026. I think this is still a 90-plus win team that's likely staring down the barrel of the playoffs. And whether or not they can get over that hump and get over themselves and finally get it done in the postseason remains to be seen. But adding Ketel Marte, banging the drum for him this offseason, I think that would be a phenomenal thing that'll get a lot of people back in on the Phils. Kind of like Lizardo did for me last year when that happened under cover of darkness, and I looked up my phone one day and said, they got Jesus Lizardo? This is awesome. This is a top pitcher in baseball. And to get him in Caleb Cotham's hands, and he's going to be even better. I think Marte could be the same kind of situation for the Phils. All right, that's going to do it for me. Another edition of Phillies Today in the books. Coming up this weekend, no Eagles. They don't play again until Monday night against the Chargers in L.A., but Justin Herbert broke a bone in his hand. So will they be facing Trey Lance and a backup quarterback, or will it be Justin Herbert remains to be seen? But they need to get back on track in the worst way, because it's been ugly the last 2 weeks for the Eagles. Need them to kind of right the ship, figure it out, find a way to get back on track, because it has not been pretty these last 2 weeks. All right, we will talk next week, everybody. Maybe we'll get some Phils news before we talk next week, and we can break down a signing, or we can break down a trade or something, because right now Dombrowski feels like he's asleep at the wheel. Have a great week, everybody. Go Eagles on Monday night, and we'll talk next Tuesday.